It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watch OS 7 is out, along with iOS and iPadOS 14. A teardown shows a bigger battery in the Series 6 and some issues with the new solo band sizing, plus reviews of Buddy Watch app, Vesta Attack game app, and Backtap on the iPhone. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 347, recorded Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. Solo Gate.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Yabba dabba do.
Yeah, staying high and dry?
Inside, yes. Everyone outside, though.
A little bit of a tropical storm come through here. It's just, it'll rain and stop, and then rain and then stop, but so far, so good. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, guys. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. We do have a lot to talk about. Hold on a second. Let me check one more time. Yep. My watch is still scheduled for delivery on Monday, so it hasn't changed yet.
All right.
I'm still good. Still waiting. Although I'll talk about the band thing here in a little bit. There's a few issues happening there, but we do have a lot of stuff to talk about, from the new OS 7, iOS 14, to the new bands, new services. It is a lot of information to be taking in, and I've been trying to absorb it all this week, but it's really too much to kind of keep up with all of it. Just got to take it a little bit at a time. Have both of you upgraded your phones and watches, I hope?
Yes.
Good.
Spent most of this week just trying to learn how to use stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right. Not to put you on the spot, but how about a quick 1 minute review? What do you think overall of the new operating systems for your watch and your phone? First impression.
For me, it's always been like an old friend with new stuff.
Okay.
You know? Like, hey, new trick.
Old dog,
new
trick.
You still gotta use it, you know?
Yeah. Learning. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I wasn't sure I'd like all the widgets, and I wasn't sure I would like the app library. A week into it, I'm like, I'm all in.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? On both.
Now,
I haven't touched the app library.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't? You haven't touched that yet? Okay.
I mean, I see it. I just haven't used it.
I just watched a video on how to really maximize it, and I was like, okay, that's pretty neat, especially when you can delete apps off your home screen, but they're still on the app library. That's pretty effective.
Yeah, cleaning. There's a lot of organization and cleaning up that you can do. Mm-hmm. What about the watchOS in particular? How do you feel overall on that? Overwhelmed, underwhelmed? What?
Just playing with faces.
What was that, Vincent?
I've been playing with the faces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did the whole thing, the exchange. But yeah, it's cleaner. I mean, yeah, mostly the watch faces and sleep is what I've been messing with.
Right, and that's mm-hmm. two-thirds of it right there, pretty much. And besides that, and hand washing, there's not a whole lot.
Yeah, I didn't even have that turned on.
So. Oh, turn it on. You'll have fun.
Hand washing?
Yes, because okay. It does it when you don't expect it. It's really strange.
I haven't turned it on either. I think I should.
Turn it on. I'd like to see if it's just me or how you feel about it. Especially if you leave the house and come back, that's a good test to see if it reminds you to wash your hands. And anyway, the whole experience of it is different. And it's going to be interesting to see now that people have the OS, how they feel about it. You know, is this something that, like sending your heartbeat, that is really cool now, but will kind of die off, or is it here to stay? You know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I don't know. Overall, the watchOS 7 to me, okay.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not. It's not like changing your world too much. You know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, give it more time. But you're right, Vincent. The thing I've been using the most and having the most fun with are the watch faces.
Right.
Yeah. The customization of it is just too cool.
Me too. I mean, as I listed out things that what I like, you know, usually I have two or three things on my list that kind of rotates. I think I'm up to like 11 or 12 now. So over the last week of things I like that we would do on this show. So either we have to do a tips show or we have to do, you know, two what I likes, because I have like 3 months worth of them now, Tom.
Oh yeah, we will. So, we need to do a tips show. Maybe give it another week or so to kind of let people, you know, update and all that sort of thing. And have time for it all to kind of sink in. But yeah, we should do a tips episode for sure. We always do when there's a new OS. It's funny. I love how I keep seeing articles comparing things like Apple Fitness Plus service that they announced to Peloton and whether it's worth it or not. It's not even out yet. How can you possibly review and compare it when you don't even know what it is? But I keep
that's true.
I keep
people
seeing,
just like to do that.
They do. I keep seeing those articles, you know, Apple Fitness Plus or Peloton, is it worth it? You know, it's like, come on. And I also
getting people to think about it for sure.
They what?
Yeah. They're getting people to think about it.
But it's hard to compare when we don't even know what it is yet, how well it works.
That's the best of marketing. When you just let your imagination run wild.
It's all hype.
And essentially, you're going to
yeah, I guess.
you're going to get it for free because most people who are going to want it already have $30 worth of Apple services every month anyway. So just buy the bundle and it's included. So you're going to get it for free.
Now, I keep seeing articles about that too. What is it? Apple One? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
The Apple One subscription bundle. And I you know, every time I see that pop up in my feed, something about the Apple One subscription, I'm like, did I miss it? Is it out now? What? No, just more speculation.
Right. I think it was October, wasn't it?
Yeah, later this year. It said fall. Yes, right. Yeah. Fall. What? I mean, that's coming up, I guess.
Tomorrow or
couple
Thursday?
Weeks. No, yeah. 2-3 weeks. It'll be officially fall, I guess. But I did have one question about the service, and this has come up, especially on Twitter and Reddit, about this Apple One subscription, and it might be worth discussing just for a moment, and that is your Apple ID. So I have a question. Do you have the same email and Apple ID for purchases as well as everything else Apple that you use?
I do. I believe so.
You don't now I go back to the at mac.com days. Mm-hmm. I have two different Apple IDs. I have one for purchases and I have one for everything else. So my Apple
What's everything else? Oh, logins and stuff?
Yeah, for iCloud and things like that. Is
my, no kidding.
No, my Apple Music is one ID, but iCloud is another. So my question is, how are they going to resolve that without you losing purchases? And I'm sure they've thought through, but since there's no details, we're just guessing now. A lot of people are in the same boat, and maybe there'll be some sort of transfer service. But right now, there's no way to combine these two together, and you don't want to lose everything you purchased with, right?
Well, that's your problem, not mine.
No, that's Apple's problem because been paying for this for years.
Yeah.
And they have yet to find a way to merge it, because if you had an at mac.com way back before there really was an Apple ID, and then when they did the store, when the music came into play, you were encouraged to create a new account. So a lot of people have this. A lot of people have two. And because there was never a way to merge them. So I guess we'll find out from Apple.
Yeah, I've been working with Apple Business, and they do have an ability to federate accounts. I mean, you can even create Apple IDs that don't actually log into an iCloud. And so there's a bunch of different variations. But yeah, they're definitely working through that.
Yeah. I mean, and when this was announced, I saw some of that on Twitter, and lately I've seen more of that, people asking that question. Mm. So as we get closer to launch, I guess we'll figure that. I would love it if it was just one. If I only had one Apple ID, every time I do something, I have to stop and think, okay, wait, what? Which one is it?
Yeah, that's tough.
This one? No, that one has a different password. Wait, it's this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing that for quite a while.
No kidding.
Because there's no way to I can't turn off the music one, right? Because then I lose all that music, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's it'll be interesting. And that, yeah, a lot of times I forget which one I've signed up for that particular service with which one, you know, that's kind of confusing.
Have you ever posted on Reddit to see if anyone has, I'm sure there are other people that have that issue. Have you ever gotten any insights on what they've done?
There's a lot of them. Some people, and this was a while back, got so frustrated, they just abandoned it. They're like, write it off.
How much? I mean, they abandoned the first one and just went with the second one and had to restart.
Either way, but they lost purchases, like lots of them. Hmm. And there's, they gave up. I'm hoping Apple will have a system now. So I've held out this long, so we'll see. Anyway, let's get into what's going on. And there's a few things here in the news, not a whole lot isn't all about the new OS. But speaking of the new watches, now, Chris, you ordered your Series 6 is a titanium, correct?
I did. I got the titanium, not the black titanium, just the regular titanium, which is like a space gray almost, I think.
Right. But that's considered an Apple Watch edition.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what we've discovered is that the USB power adapter, which Apple said they're no longer going to box with the watch, is actually included in the Apple Watch edition and the Hermes version.
All right. All right.
So the more expensive ones come with a 5-watt charger.
I'm a winner.
You're a winner. And then the question that came up in this article was, well, if you can afford one of those, don't you probably already have a few adapters?
Plenty, yes.
Why would you include it in those and not the, you know, that's the whole point. If you're going to make a stand here for the environment, why not do it across the board? But yeah, it is included. When you look at what's in the box, on the website, you get the magnetic charging cable, the USB power adapter, a braided solo loop or whatever you choose, I guess, and then the case, the watch. So
I was thinking about this too after we did our show last week and reading about it. There almost needs to, and this, I know this would dramatically increase the complexity of the supply chain, but if you're a first-time watch purchaser, you need that, don't you? You need all the cabling.
Yes, I mentioned that too, yeah.
Yeah, so there should be like a toggle box to say first time buy, first Apple Watch, yes, and then it would send it to you maybe separately or something, but certainly you need it.
Yeah, they made that's a strange decision that they made to not include it because and to not have that sort of thing where you just check the box, yes, I need one, no, I don't.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah, it would, because I bet a lot of people who have a ton of these would check that box, no, I don't need it, right?
Exactly. I'd like to send back 4 of them.
Yes.
That's right.
Can I get a credit?
I'd like to donate it somewhere.
I'd like to swap these 4 adapters for a new band, please. Can you take that into the Apple store? Think they'll do that? No, I don't think they'll do that.
Because my solo band didn't fit, so I want to replace it with this way.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That's a whole story coming up. I'm going to pick up a couple of quick things here from last week that are not related to that. But this is interesting. We were talking about the Apple Card. Mm-hmm. The actual card, apparently, there's some kind of rumors or hints here that the Apple Card is going to have international expansion. So a source claiming to be close to some Australian banking corporation involved in supporting Apple Card in Australia says that Apple Card will be launching in multiple new regions as soon as the end of the year. And that good. Apple had apparently advertised for a bunch of new Apple Card product manager roles that involve travel and working with external partners such as payment networks, bank issuers, and other players. So the card is going international.
That's great.
Yep.
That's great.
And now I'm assuming that is the actual physical card we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Not just.
I mean, it came out a year ago, right? So I think I might have had 6 months worth of travel. I don't think I ever used it anywhere except buying things on my phone, right?
Right.
But I guess when the world opens up again and I start doing my international travel, I'll be all ready to go.
Yeah, hopefully this will all be in place by then. So
yeah,
they all get the, what is it? Is that a titanium card, right? Is it made of titanium?
Yeah.
The card? Yeah. It's the Apple Card Edition version. Made of titanium.
which edition came with the box that charges? Is it all of them? The ceramic.
What? With the chart?
The clamshell box, which the charger that you plug in. I mean, I'm assuming if you came with that box, you'd need to have that.
That was only the gold $10,000.
Oh, it was only the gold
one. Yeah.
Oh, so the rumor was it would come back, but it's not.
Right. That is a rumor. Someone had an image, a photograph of it or something, but it looked suspiciously like the one from 5 years ago. Right. Because at that time I got the next, they didn't have ceramic. They had the gold edition, and then they had stainless steel was the next expensive one. And that did not have a charger box. Had a nice box, but it wasn't a charger box. And people online had actually hacked the box with a Dremel tool and put a charger in it. just kind of funny at the time.
It is.
Anyway, moving on, we've got, speaking of international here, Singapore. This is great. Singapore is going to pay citizens for keeping healthy with the Apple Watch. So this is interesting. Apple and the government of Singapore have partnered on a 2-year health initiative dubbed Luma Health, which is basically built around tracking and rewarding user behavior through the Apple Watch and an iPhone app. So the Singapore residents will be able to earn as much as $280 in rewards and vouchers by completing goals and tasks set within the app. So that can be done by walking or swimming or yoga. The app will also have personalized coaching and reminders for health screenings and immunizations. Wellness challenges will kind of push users towards making better food choices and improve their sleep habits. All in all, very interesting program. Be interesting to track this and see how well it does over time. And
it
is
great.
Completely voluntary. They say that it's designed with user privacy and security at its core. All user data will be encrypted and none will be sold or shared for marketing purposes. And that's according to Apple. So nice.
Yeah, very nice. I think, the old marketing in the 50s and 60s where I give me a second because I'm going here with this analogy. Getting the smokers early because you're going to get them when they're 16, then you got them when they're 60.
Right.
I really think getting young people and of course anyone to exercise is fantastic. But if you can get the younger generation to stay healthy, just think what it's going to do for healthcare long term. And I just think that's great. The more, as long as the privacy, because I know that's what people would be concerned about.
Right.
It is covered. It's great. And I know this isn't specific to young people. That's, I guess, not totally my point, but the more people exercising, the better. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's an interesting program to watch and see how this, now it's over 2 years. So we'll see, I'm sure we'll see.
How many people live in Singapore?
I don't know. What is the,
I'm going to check.
Check the population of Singapore. I'm sure it's pretty big.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's
not even the size of New York City, 5.6 million.
That's still a lot of people.
Thinking it's about the size of Houston. Yeah.
That's smaller than Houston, but yeah, a little bit. But that's still a lot of people to participate in a study, you know, so that's pretty cool.
It's basically one visit to anywhere, you know, the doctor, emergency room, anything, right? So if you can prevent that, it's going to be a break even.
Yes, and it has to be a savings at some point, right?
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to the Solo Loop Band.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
There's good news and bad news, and I'll start with the good news. Okay. And this is interesting. I did not know this because the Apple stores here in Houston are still closed, but apparently in the Apple stores they're offering personalized sizing for your band. So now they say that the inventory and display selection will vary by location, but they do offer a full range of solo loop and braided solo loop bands to try on. And because of the pandemic and everything going on, what you do is you make an appointment to shop with a specialist, and you'll be guided to the Apple Watch table where Apple has created a, let's call it a higher quality version of the online sizing guide, you know, that I printed out on copy paper.
Same here.
And they will use that to determine which solo loop band is right for you. They said the sizing guides are individually packaged, recyclable, and single use for health and safety purposes. So it's a reusable blue silicone version will eventually replace this disposable one. So that's pretty cool. So it's like taking a test, right? They open the thing and wrap it around your wrist, and it gives them the number. So sounds to me like they had to come up with this temporary way to do it. And now this was an article from 9to5Mac. And according to this, the person writing the article, they went into an Apple store apparently and did this. They said each guide has a small adhesive sticker that attaches to your wrist where you normally rest the Apple Watch sensor. So that's, you stick it on and then it wraps around. So that's interesting, because with my piece of paper, obviously it wouldn't stick, and it was kind of hard to hold it in place and get an exact number.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So he said the specialist I spoke with told me that the bands tend to run large and recommended trying an option two sizes smaller than the guide indicates.
Oh, I'm toast.
Yeah, he said it was a perfect fit. All of the surfaces customers touch are then cleaned after every appointment. So they're very meticulous about this. That's the good news. Apple found a way to do this in store. Here's the bad news.
It doesn't include LiDAR.
just take a picture of your wrist with your phone, and it should tell you. The measurement app should tell you what number. That's actually a good idea. If we were doing app or crap still, that would be what we do. a custom auto fit app for sizing watch bands. Anyway, let's get to the bad news, which is that apparently, and we talked about this last week when we first heard about this, that it might be an issue, and it is returning your band. If you get your band and it's the wrong size and it does not fit, returning it is going to be difficult if you received it with your watch, because apparently Apple considers that a set, and you must return the watch along with the band. And now, you know, watches are in shorter supply, so now you're going to have to wait till into November or later to get it. So people are very upset about that. I knew this was not going to be easy for Apple. I still don't understand why they did this, because even if I could have this fit in an Apple store, I mean, that would really, I don't know, I guess that would be the only way you'd know that it would fit.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're guessing.
Would they let you try one on?
Pardon?
And then if it doesn't fit, then you just ask for a tighter
probably
one?
Probably not. It doesn't sound like they're letting you try one on. You have to use this measuring device.
Oh, you mean in the store?
In the store.
Yeah.
Like you're there.
To return it. Yes, you could take it to a store, but if you bought it with your watch, it's a set. And you can't return just the band or swap it out. Plus, they're low on stock in certain size bands as well. That's going to be an issue. Getting the right one. So this whole system just seems, you know, Apple never had to do this before. It was either like medium or large, medium or medium large. That was it.
I just think the band must be so cool, and they figured the demand and the customer satisfaction would be so high once you got what you wanted. It's offset by this crummy startup process, because of course it's one time you gotta figure out what your band is, if it's wrong or right. But because I thought the same thing, this is really kind of uncontrollable, and Apple usually controls everything.
Yeah, I don't understand it, and
So, okay, when this news came out, which I just really started reading about it today, went back and looked at my order because I ordered the watch with a solo band. Mm-hmm. And I had chosen the size number 6. And that won't arrive till next week. And then right after that, I ordered a couple of more bands, and one of them was the braided solo. I looked at that to check on the delivery, which should be today, but it's UPS, so for me it won't probably arrive till 9 o'clock tonight. But anyway, it said size 1. And I'm like, what? I didn't even notice that. Size 1? No. Are you kidding me? That's for a baby. Mm-hmm. That's like the smallest one you could do. How did I
see how thing this stretches? That? See how far?
How can even?
I don't think it'll stretch that far.
I say, how can you even make a 1? I mean, why even make a 1?
It's so small. It's ridiculous. Now, I hope maybe the order is just incorrect, that it's not a typo, but you know, that maybe the confirmation is wrong. But I doubt it because the other one did say 6. So how did? I'm pretty sure I chose 6. I don't know how it got back to 1.
Did you order them on the same cart checkout?
Yeah. 2 different ones. One was done for the watch, and then I went and bought two bands separately.
Okay. The same thing, but yeah. I didn't buy a solo band. I bought the solo band with the watch, but I waited until it showed up, as mm-hmm. I said last week.
Yeah.
Well, you could easily not hit the 10 and just default it to the 1. I mean, it could be operator error.
Well, I was typing in 6. How do I get to 1?
Oh, you typed it in. I think I hit like a button. There's a button for 1 through 10, and I hit, or 1 through 11, and I hit 10.
Well, maybe I hit the wrong one, but I never saw it. So anyway, I'm either getting the right size or I'm getting the smallest one they make.
Well, you can be the first user of my Facebook page, which is going to be Solo Band Exchange.
Well, yes, yes. Either that, or I can use it as a blood pressure cuff on my wrist because it's going to be so tight. I don't think I could get that over my hand.
Or like Vincent said, a pinky ring.
It's a pinky ring.
A pinky ring band. No, that, you know, that brings up a good point that you mentioned, Chris, is that I think when the watch first came out, I remember because you would get in the box whatever band you chose, they would give you both the larger one and the shorter one. They still do that with some of them.
They do, yeah.
And people were, there was a website where you could swap them out with people.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and if you had the wrong size or needed a different thing or whatever, a different color. And I wonder if that still goes on. There's a site where you can swap bands with other people.
I'll have to check.
Yeah, because they're going to need it with this.
Yeah, they have some Band-Aid.
Band-Aid?
I'm starting to see on Facebook and Reddit, though, people posting pictures of the solo band and their watch. They look great. That woven one looks fantastic.
Yeah. But mine is, I don't know, it's going to be so small. It's, you know, that's the other thing. Even if there was, a site to switch them, no one's going to want the 1. I'm not going to be able to switch that to anybody.
We need an unboxing video, Tom, on the Facebook page.
I got to send it back. As soon as it comes in and I confirm it's 1, it's going right back out the door. And I'm sitting down and ordering a new one and wait for that to show up. But luckily, it's not the 1 that's on the watch. Otherwise, then I'd really be stuck with it. But
yeah, that would be kind of frustrating.
It would. And again, if Apple stores were open here, it wouldn't be as big a deal. I could take it in and exchange it right there, get a refund. But they're not open yet here, are they, Vincent? I haven't checked lately.
Yep. They're all closed. Still and I was closed. Looking at maybe like in-store pickup for things.
Yeah.
Closed. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I read an article, someone who had ordered their watch and it was going to show up in 2 or 3 weeks. But then last Friday, when they went on sale in the stores, they went into the store they got online, ordered another watch, the identical, for pickup at the store within an hour, then canceled their other order because it hadn't shipped yet, went in and got it that day, which I've actually done that before. Picked it up the same day, having already ordered it and canceled it. I think I did that with a phone or something one time. But
Yeah, I've done it before with bands and a couple other things.
Right. And it's a way to get it faster, you know.
Very convenient, yeah.
But I read it. Also read an article from, I think it was Dwight Silverman, who mm-hmm. works for the Houston Chronicle here. He had tweeted something about his wife got her Series 6 watch already.
I'm like, wow, what?
I said, I know it. He didn't go to a store to pick it up. How did he get it delivered that quick?
He's There's Dwight. People,
he's what?
I know.
It's Dwight. He's a tech reviewer.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he got special treatment.
I noticed, what is today? Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Tuesday. I noticed Sunday on Reddit and Facebook. Unboxing and pictures. So they must have started arriving Sunday because that's when I started seeing them all over the place.
Wow. I mean, I ordered within an hour of the event. Maybe that was too late.
Yeah, I ordered probably a half hour of the event. So I can't imagine. Like, maybe the half hour made a difference. Or it depends on the style and the type. I think they're different it styles could. And type.
It could, and where you are. Yeah. I bet all of that has. Anyway, we're going to call this Solo Gate. We'll see what happens.
One, Solo Gate.
Yeah, really. I was trying to find. There's
so many SKUs.
There's a there's a Han Solo joke in there somewhere. I just couldn't find it. something with the.
I'm gonna wait for the Chewy band.
Oh, that'd be kind of. They're like wearing a piece of carpet on your wrist.
Yeah. Is it edible?
And it would smell. I don't know. That wouldn't be good. Mm. No, don't get that one wet. Whatever you do, it really smells.
Yeah, certainly.
A chewy band. Okay, let's move off of Solo and move on to. I posted this. Mainly, I think, for you, Chris, you said you were having some issues with picture-in-picture, which is a new feature of iOS 14. And in fact, my Apple TV just updated today on its own, and it showed me, here's what's new, and one of them was picture-in-picture now on the Apple TV, which is mm-hmm. really cool. But you were having an issue with it, and I did discover here that apparently a lot of other people were having issues, because apparently not all apps support it.
Right. Yeah, once I learned that, I was a little better, but then I still couldn't get some of the apps to work. I was trying too hard, Tom. You know, Apple tries to make it easy. I was trying too hard. I was watching what was it today? I was watching The Sopranos, and I had to answer a text, and I just swiped up, and there it was. It worked, you know. So when you don't try, it works, right? You know, so it worked fine. It was kind of cool.
I love that when you almost accidentally discover the feature.
That's what I did. You know, don't try to – don't overthink it.
Yep. That's usually the when you get in trouble with Apple stuff. But I can't wait to try it on the Apple TV because that's pretty cool. So you could be watching a game, you know, like a mm-hmm. football game or baseball and you know, jump over to something else. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on the score while you watch something else going on. Yeah. So I can't wait to try that out.
I've only done it once with Safari playing a video. So while you're browsing a website, I was actually watching the hurricane news.
Oh, yeah.
Just basically swiping it down. That was pretty cool. Just
kept it going in the corner there.
Yep.
Yeah. See, mm-hmm. my setup on my desk where I've got my iMac and my screens, and I've got my iPad kind of leaned up there. And that's where I keep like the radar app, you know, from the weather. It's like it was always there in the corner, you know, while I'm working, so I can always glance over at it. See what was going on. Yeah. But picture-in-picture is a great feature. And then we discovered something else here about the Apple Watch Series 6. Apparently, iFixit, and they're very famous for their teardowns. When they get it, there's a new product, they tear it completely apart, piece by piece. They video it, all that sort of stuff, discover all the secrets in it, and then they give it a repairability score. Well, they took apart the Apple Watch Series 6 with GPS and LTE, and they said that while on the outside it looks almost identical or very similar to the Series 5, turns out there's quite a few extra changes or modifications to support features like blood oxygen monitoring, et cetera, inside the watch. So they say it now opens like a book when you take the screen off. they said, which is similar to the iPhone rather than the top down like the prior Apple Watch models. And they're saying that since force touch has been removed, there's no force touch gasket component, which makes it easier to tear into the actual watch. So they found it easier to get into because of that. And they found that a few cables or fewer cables, sorry, and a more streamlined design. So they're saying overall, it's easier to repair this one than past versions of the watch. Now, the biggest discovery here was that Apple is using a 1.17 WH battery. What does that stand for? WH. It's not, that's not milliamps. That's a W. Watt, watts per hour? I don't know. WH? I'm checking it. Yeah. Anyway.
What does a WH mean? It means watts per hour.
It is. Hey, there you go.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding. I'll take, strange engineering terms for 100. so it's a 1.17 watt per hour battery in the 44 millimeter, which is a slight increase, 3.5% over the battery used in the prior generation, the Series 5. So the Series 6, still will give you 18-hour all-day battery life like the prior models do, even though it has a little bigger, slightly bigger battery. Now, the 40-millimeter model, they took a look at that. It has a 1.024 watts per hour capacity, which is an 8.5% increase over the 40-millimeter Series 5. So that's an even bigger jump. That's quite a jump, actually.
Yes, you can round that up to 10% and be happy.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
There's
a, and they also said there's a larger Taptic engine in the Series 6. They said the frame has been slightly modified with a narrower lip for adhesive. They said this tweak, along with the removal of force touch, may be why this year's models are, besides all of this stuff, just a little bit thinner than previous models. 10.4 versus 10.7. What?
Yeah, that's...
that's
0.34 millimeters. Wow. I'll take
it. When you're talking millimeters, that's a lot, actually.
And
when you talk about now you've made the Taptic engine bigger and you've made the battery bigger, and you still made the watch slightly thinner. That's really good engineering is what that is.
And that's why Force Touch. Force Touch was a design decision, not a user functionality decision, I believe.
That's an interesting thing, the Force Touch, because I never really thought about it, but I guess, it had to do with the screen. But I never thought about it taking up space,
I think I put all the things you could Force Touch on your Apple Watch, and a list came up, and it was a great, because I was over stimulated with all the stuff that was on. I was like, this is a lot more than I thought. But it gave you all the list of the things you did with your Force Touch, and then it gave you the workaround in the iOS 7, how to do it, the same thing now. So it's kind of cool.
I think I looked at a similar thing.
You must have.
Yeah, and I realize how few of those I actually use.
That's exactly right.
So that may be part of it. But anyway, so iFixit gave the Series 6 a repairability score of 6 out of 10. So...
All right.
That's much better than I think Apple got in the past. I'm not sure what it was, but it wasn't that.
The pictures are the blue watch, which is kind of cool. And then there's one comment. Did you see the comment?
There's several. Which one?
I just saw one, and I guess I could save you all, but the one I saw was just sitting by itself. It says, "This is gorgeous."
Oh,
the breakdown, not the watch itself, but the breakdown.
Oh, the breakdown. Yeah. It is quite a piece of engineering. Now, they also said that that score that they gave it was because of the easier screen replacements and battery replacements based on the way it's now put together. They said, but there's still tiny, get this, they call them tri-point screws to manage, and that flex cables mounted directly to the S6 package require skilled micro soldering if you accidentally tear them. So still not for the faint of heart to do any of this.
Don't open your wallet.
It's like, you'll never get it back together. It will never work again. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes for this. It's kind of cool to see all the inside of it. And man, yeah, that battery takes up most of the watch.
Yeah, it does.
It's huge. And so is that Taptic engine. Look at that thing.
Yeah, that was bigger than I thought. And that just tells you the feat of engineering for everything else. Isn't it quite amazing?
Yeah, when they designed the Apple Watch, they are working in millimeters of everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And then the last thing I want to mention here, I saw this on Reddit. And I think we've talked about this sort of thing before. It's just not very well known. But someone said, "Thank you, Apple. I sent in my Series 5 for warranty repair and was sent back a Series 6.
No way.
Yes. And if you time it just right, that happens every year. Because they got rid of the 5. Year before, they got rid of the 4. So if you had a 4 that was not doing well at this time of year, right after the release of 5, you probably got a 5 as a replacement. Mm. To make it even better, I think in reading the comments after this, I think the person who did this, who got the Series 6, noticed that they had the Hermes watch faces on it too.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, they didn't get the band, but they got the watch.
Yeah, the faces are neat.
Yeah. The band is where the cost is, really, with the Hermes.
Yeah, but, I believe so.
Yeah. But so they just took one off the shelf, you know, dropped it in a box and sent it to, okay, it's the same case. Here you go. That's pretty funny. That's something to think about. And other people were mentioning stories of things with their phone and other stuff. They had issues or whatever. And like someone brought in their phone, was having some issue. They left it at the Genius Bar, came back, got the phone, and went home, and it was doing the same thing. Brought it back, and they admitted that they never touched it. They just handed back the same phone. So to make up for it, they give them a brand new in-the-box sealed phone here of the latest model, whatever it was. So that does happen from time to time. So anyway.
Okay.
Anything else in the news here before we move on to what we like?
Oh, that's great. That's a lot of stuff.
I know what I wanted to mention real quick. Custom iPhone home screens. Have you seen these?
Yes, I have. Those are cool.
Custom app
icons. Yes, I saw them too. Yes. I did see that.
Posted everywhere. I got a question. Why?
What?
Why would you do this? Why would you go
to... Because you can. That's pretty much all there
is. Have you looked at the steps it takes to do it?
Yeah, you have to do the
shortcut. I'm not.
Thing. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. This is not a couple of clicks.
It is.
Really?
It is. You're doing work to do this. Yeah, to get it to look like that. And it has to do with shortcuts, is what you're basically creating.
That's a lot of work. I've tried those before.
Yeah, it's hiding behind this image. And then when you click it, it takes you to shortcuts, not to the app, which then takes you to the app.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm like, okay, no, I'm not going to do that with all of mine. That's
if you really, really want to, you can do a custom icon.
You could, but excuse me. So the custom app icons and all these watch faces that we can now swap and change and make the look different. All of this makes me think, at least when I first started seeing these, first thing I thought of was, how long has Johnny Ive been gone?
Because
I think this is something Apple's been wanting to do, and I think Ive was stopping them from doing it. And now that he's gone, they're like, yep, okay. You want more watch faces? Here you go. You want to be able to customize your apps, icons? Here you go. we don't care. Make it look any way you want. And, you know, all that uniformity just kind of goes out the window. So, you know, even with widgets, you know, now every phone will look completely different, which has got to be driving him crazy. When he sees these images, he must cringe, you know, going, no, what are you doing to my creations?
But, well, I noticed that all the custom icons and apps I saw and were young people. I didn't see any people my age posting them. So either it's a lot of work, it's really hard, and they had a lot of energy to do it.
Yeah, the only ones I saw of people who were not of that age were like tech journalists. That's kind of what they do.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they did it just more for proof of concept than anything. Mm-hmm. I forgot to ask either one of you, did you watch the Emmys the other night, Sunday night?
I did not.
It was very interesting in that everybody was via remote, and they had them all up on one giant multi-monitored thing. The technology behind that's got to be amazing that they were able to do that. But the neat thing here for Apple is Apple won its first Emmy Sunday.
Oh, that's cool.
For the morning show, Billy Crudup won.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, he's one of the best characters on that show. He has the best lines. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
That was well-deserved. They didn't win any of the others they were nominated for. But, it was quite an interesting show. If you had a chance to look at YouTube, and maybe I'm sure there's clips of all of that.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, I saw the one with Jason Bateman. He was there.
Oh, yeah. They had all the cardboard cutouts in the sitting in the seats, and he was sitting there pretending to be one. That was pretty funny.
I watched about 5 minutes of the Country Music Awards, and I know I'm not a huge country music fan. I just kind of ran across it because I don't watch TV there. I don't even know what I was doing. It just maybe I was between things, but it was kind of well done for being remote.
Yeah, for being remote. And what they did with the Emmys, which I thought was kind of funny, was every nominee had a box delivered to their house, a big box that if they won, inside would be an Emmy if they were the winner.
Oh, that's.
And they would remote control, press a button, the box would open up, confetti would fly, and out would come the Emmy, like a hand holding the Emmy.
Oh, no.
And they did that live.
Nice.
You know, and they were like shocked when it opened up. Like, oh, I won.
How cool.
That was pretty neat. I liked how they did that. That's neat. Yeah. That was
fun. You know, I think if you compared what's been 6 months, April through September, or March through September, around 6 months, I don't have facts, but I think like the first thing I watched was kind of remote was like a Saturday Night Live when they did the,
I remember that
from everyone's apartment. That was like, you know, a fraternity or a sorority doing something, right? It was done really quick. And what they've come to 6 months later, the tech and the production of the shows it's just exponentially different.
It has gotten better, but you still see how, even these people who do things like, you know, big national stuff can look pretty bad if the equipment isn't good.
Yeah, that's true,
you know,
too.
It's like your lighting's not right, your audio's off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed a lot of the talk show hosts were doing it from their house with no – like the comedians would deliver their monologue with no laughter or anything. You know, it's just kind of –
yeah, it's tough.
Fell flat, you know.
Yeah.
I think John Oliver still does it from his house. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed that Bill Maher does it from the studio now. He used to do it from his house. He moved to the studio, but they still don't have an audience.
Yeah, so a number of them are doing that now.
Yeah, and everybody he talks to is still remote. So, but he's back in the studio. So, all right, let's move on to what we like this week. Chris, why don't you kick it off?
Sure, Tom. I am reviewing a game called Vesta Attack, V-E-S-T-A Attack, and it's by Red Sprite Studios. And I've had a lot of games, and I actually do play them a lot. I still do tic-tac-toe quite a bit and Pong and some of the easy stuff. But this one I kind of ran across, I guess, I don't even remember. I think it was maybe on a Facebook page or something. But it's kind of a retro Asteroids. Remember the Asteroids game where you basically have a ship in the middle of the screen and it spins and you shoot all the the bad guys coming at you? And I love that game. I mean, I used to go to the mall and spend all Friday and Saturday night throwing quarters in that machine with my friends. And that's kind of the game I played along with Galaga. So those are two games. And I don't think I could do Galaga on the watch. It would be kind of tough. But I saw this and, man, I'm gonna get it. So I got it, and it's a lot of fun. First, I loaded it on the phone and played it on there. And I was like, it's impossible to play on your phone. I couldn't get a good feel for, because you're basically sliding your finger across the screen versus on the watch, you're kind of turning the digital crown. But basically what it is, you start up the game, and there's some basic settings. You know, you have a modern theme and a retro theme, and you've got haptic feedback, and there's a couple settings for how fast it fires, things like that. And it, once you hit start, basically you've got your ship, and your digital crown is used to turn the ship. So it's going to, as soon as you start the game, it's going to move forward at a slower pace, and you use the digital crown to turn it. So that's how you kind of, you can keep it in the center of the screen by just continually turning it, because the momentum is going to keep the ship, in one place. Or you can just move forward. And it, and what you can do is, I've learned that don't stay in the center. It's kind of move your ship around. And then if you go off the left side of the screen, it comes onto the right side of the screen, right? So it's kind of moves across the screen. So that helps your strategy of the game. But you've got asteroids to blow up. You've got enemies. You've got mines. You can protect your, you know, if you hit the right thing at the right time, you protect your ship, so you can like ram things. Now it just it just shoots it. I think it's like one I guess, what do you want? It's not a bullet, but you know, one about, I don't know, it's hard to say. It's 4 or 5 a second. But you can upgrade and get more control over the speed and the type of ship that you have. And it's a lot of fun, and there's different levels. I got my high score the first time I did it. And you get 1 point for every bullet. Every bullet that hits something, get a point. So my high score is like 150. And ever since then, I've hit 150.
All downhill from there, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's a fun little game, and it's a good, you know, if you want to say a time waster or time consumer. Mm-hmm. But it's a little more skill than like just, you know, doing tic-tac-toe or Pong, which can get kind of boring. But anyway, it's called Vesta Attack, and it's a good little game. I highly recommend it.
Nice. It says it runs at 60 frames per second on the watch.
Wow.
So that's, okay, that's nice.
That makes sense, yeah.
How do you move the ship?
Like I said, it as soon as you engage the game and start,
yeah,
the ship moves forward.
Oh, okay.
On its own. So as soon as you engage a digital crown, it starts moving, and then you just turn the digital crown to turn the ship.
And how do you fire?
Then, it fires on its own.
Gotcha.
It's firing on its own.
You're just aiming.
You're just aiming and maneuvering. Yes.
Tilting the watch doesn't move it around either, right?
Didn't try it. Let me try it here. Okay.
I just wonder if that was a way to make it move.
Nope. Doesn't look like it.
Okay.
It's engaging engaging the digital crown. So that's my what I like this week is that game.
That's pretty cool. Red Sprite Studios, $1.99.
Yeah, good little game.
I'll put a link in the show notes for that. I was going to review a braided solo band today, but UPS has not delivered it yet. I was so disappointed when I looked at my delivery thing, when you do the tracking, and it showed up as UPS. I'm like, no, because at least here for me, FedEx is much better. It comes earlier in the day. It's delivered very well. UPS, I don't know why it has they tend to deliver late. Every package I get is dirty. The box is filthy. And half the time, if it's a big box, they drop it right in front of the door and leave. Well, I have a storm door that opens out. So if it's heavy, I've got to push it out of the way. So anyway, I hate seeing UPS as a delivery of anything. And I did not know that Apple used them to deliver. I always thought it was FedEx, but apparently not.
Instead of a woven band, you might get a frayed nut.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to get is a very small.
That's true.
But anyway, it had not delivered, so I'm going to review something else here. And listeners may get tired of me mentioning this, but it is now available because I was kind of using an early version of it, but now it's available for everybody, and that is Buddy Watch, which is an app that's now available on the Apple Store, or on the App Store, I'm sorry. This is a very fun app that people will submit their watch faces, and if they like it, it gets approved. They will make it available to everybody who has the app. So what you do is you get notifications when a new face is available. And what I absolutely love is that directly from the notification on my watch, I can install that face with just a couple of taps. It is so much fun. I've also discovered some really cool new apps through doing this, because if the face has a complication for a particular app you don't have, you can download that right then and there as well. Anyway, it's a free app. It's called Buddy Watch, one word. Check it out. And then what also I want to review here real quick is one of those things I did discover from one of the watch faces. This is a fun little complication. That's all it is a complication. It's not an app. It came from one of them. It's called Roughly. R-O-U-G-H-L-Y. And all Roughly does is tell you the time in words, but it's not super accurate. So,
unfortunately, time needs to be accurate.
No. Let me tell you what I mean. Like right now, it's about 5 past 7. Mm-hmm. And that's how it tells you the time. It's about 10 minutes to 6. It's about this. And what I like about that is that right now, since I'm staying home all the time, I don't find myself having to be that accurate most of the time. So I just kind of need to know roughly what time it is, right? And and it's nice to put it on a watch face that has the analog face. And smaller, not the full screen. And it's nice to then glance down and see, what the time is almost. It's more of a conversational way of telling time, right? Mm. When you don't want to tell somebody that it's,
that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that it's 3:54. You might just say it's 4:05, right? So anyway, check it out. It's free. It's called Roughly. But I love discovering little things like that I would never know about. Somebody else had put it on their face. So,
speaking of discovering little things in terms of stuff I found this week, digging through all this new iOS and stuff like that, but I don't know if it's in the prior one or I just completely missed it. Have you ever dug into accessibility and looked for touch settings? Inside the touch settings is back tap.
Yes, I love back tap.
Seen this before.
It is new. It is new with iOS 14, okay. I do believe.
It's new, yeah, it is.
And you can set a double tap or a triple tap on the back of your phone to either go to the home screen, open up Spotlight, open up Siri, all kinds of things.
I immediately, when I found it, exchanged it for Shake. Because, when you're in the middle of typing something, undo. And you go, undo that. You're like, I got to shake my phone. What's the weirdest move?
Yeah, it is it's a strange thing to do. Right now, my double tap is set to Control Center.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what's the time. And triple tap is the home page.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Definitely go and do this.
Yes, without delay. It's too much fun. Now, tell them again where it is. You go to the settings on your phone.
It's under settings, right. Accessibility, and then you go to touch.
Touch, right.
And then from touch, go down to back tap.
And from there,
all the way at the bottom. Yep.
Yeah, and from there, you can set it to all kinds of things, which just makes it wonderful. And I do believe that is new, correct?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I believe it is new,
I think it is new.
What's cool is you can associate a shortcut to it so that, now you can just have it do anything.
It could do volume up, volume down, mute. Oh, man. Zoom. That's a nice one.
Yeah, I did volume up and volume down. That's I was trying to think of what I do the most, and I do that all the time.
Magnifier. That's all these accessibility things are just, you know, Apple just kind of surprises you with those sorts of things, and they do them for a really good reason. But, you know, I find that a lot of them are useful, even if you don't need them for accessibility. They're just really cool features. So good one. That's a good one.
Pretty cool.
You should have saved that for our tip show.
Yeah, it's just completely associated with the phone, not anything otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can repeat that one. I'm sure maybe some people didn't hear it. So, all right. Anything else before we say a sad farewell to Force Touch on the watch?
Did you? I just sent you a text on my watch face with Steve Jobs. It's awesome.
Oh, that from Buddy Watch. Buddy Watch. Yes. Yes. Wow. I saw that one. I've got quite a few of them on here.
They're nice. Yeah, it's a great site.
The one I think I sent you guys was it's the wallpaper for Big Sur.
Yeah, that's nice.
Those color waves are really cool on the watch. They look fantastic. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Force Touch, Chris, you said you had looked into it. I had looked into it. But one of the big things I did not notice is now gone. And again, I should save this for a tip show, but here it is. If you to clear all notifications, you can't do that with Force Touch anymore.
No, it's so you can't do it anymore.
You got to swipe down, and it's right there at the top to get rid of all of them. So, is that really better? I don't know.
I went through a lot of these, and that's the only one that was kind of odd, because if you have a lot of notifications, you just have to like swing up the digital crown to get to the top. I mean, it takes you a second or two, so it's not a big deal. But then you just hit clear all. So not a big deal. No,
but I could do that from anywhere. If I was going through all these notifications, you know, one after another, after another, after another, and I got tired and just said, you know, delete all. Well, now I got to go all the way back up to the top to do it. And then the other thing was changing watch faces, editing them. It's still there, but they're calling it a long press.
Yes.
So
very easy to do.
I have to be honest with you. I never could get the hang of that or actually understand the difference between a long press and a force press. Because I'm doing it right now and it feels the same. Are you trying that right now? Do you see what I'm saying? When you force press see, I'm saying it. When you long press on your watch face, and you can edit it. Doesn't that feel like it's still a Force Touch?
It does.
With a little less pressure,
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll know for sure when we have a Series 6 because it isn't the hardware isn't there. And we'll know for sure what it feels like. Anyway, that's all the time we do have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thanks to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website, applewatchcast.com. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.